Now we're going to look at the first reading, which is from chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verses 4 to 10. This reading was picked because, in some ways, Jeremiah is the quintessential prophet. Actually, the famous text we have in Isaiah, who postdates Jeremiah, about the suffering servant in 52:13 to 53:12 in Isaiah. The author is modeling that description of that suffering prophet who finally brings a breakthrough to light of the life of Jeremiah. And that's why, as I said already, we have that complaint of Jeremiah, "You led me on, O Adonai, and I let myself be led. And I'm a laughingstock. Every time I cry out, I have to cry out, Hamas, violence." It's like calling out, "Help, police." But Jeremiah, therefore, because he's that model. And you see, he's a model of John the Baptist himself, whose birth we're celebrating. Why do we celebrate the birth of John the Baptist? We don't, except for Our Lady and Our Lord. Because, you see, John the Baptist was sanctified in his mother's womb. So when he was born, he was already free of original sin. And the other saints weren't. And so that's why we have this special feast. And it has a vigil. As I already mentioned, the logic of the vigils is not quite clear. But they're there, and they're important. All right. Okay, this text, if we skip those very first verses, begins, "And the word of the Lord came to me." This is verse 4. And it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." You see, and these are the words, that's hikdoshitika, from that word kadosh, which means holy. I made you holy. I consecrated you, you see. So that was before he was born. "I appointed you a prophet to the nations," okay? A navi, legoyim. I gave you, I appointed you, you see. To the nations. Now, notice, this is not just to Israel. Jeremiah responds and says, "Aha, Adonai, hine lo yidati." Look, Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm just a boy. The answer the Lord gives him is, "And the Lord said to him, do not say I'm too young. To whomever I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Have no fear before them, because I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Well, that's true. The Lord does deliver him so that he's able to deliver the message. But he's not totally delivered. And so we have these texts in Jeremiah, absolutely unique in the prophetic literature. Some of the Psalms are complaint Psalms. But these texts that we'll be looking at one of these days, "You led me on," as I already told you, you see, "I let myself." But there are so many of these. "I made a fool of myself. Everybody hates me. They don't want to listen to me. In fact, they're trying to kill me." Then to another prophet, Ezekiel, if I remember correctly, the Lord says, "They'll come and listen to you. That they come and listen to a ballad singer. But they're not going to pay any attention to what you're saying." An exciting preacher gets a big crowd, and everybody wants to hear all this beautiful, pious stuff. But if he dares says a word that you're practicing injustice, or that your chastity is not really chastity, or so forth, He's finished for most or many people. See, being a prophet means bringing a word from the Lord, and not everybody's going to be thrilled with that. And so many of the prophets, as it says there in the letter to the Hebrews there, you see the men of faith, who they were and what they had to put up with, maybe just a line or two. It's in Hebrews 11. And of whom the world was not worthy, finally, the letter to the Hebrews says of them. I'm looking for it now. And I probably won't find it quickly. But it's in chapter 11 after he's talked about, because you see, a prophet is a person who lives by faith and hears the word of the Lord and obeys the command of the Lord. Well, the Lord is sending these people to help them, but people don't want that kind of help. And yet, it's impossible for a priest to always be pleasing. He can preach the love of the Lord. He has to, because even the call to conversion is a call from love. But he's got to take a stand on same-sex marriage, on abortion, and on the morality of the big business and so forth, you know. If they had been thinking of a land, this is the prophets, from which they had been coming, they would have gone back there. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, this is so beautiful, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do you think every time I say I'm a Catholic, is ever God embarrassed to be linked to me? I hope not. You certainly not when you have somebody who loves him and speaks his word and reveals his care for the poor, reveals his word, his call to righteousness from sin. No, he's proud to be called their God. What about the rest of us? And so, anyway, by faith, when Abraham was put to the test, he offered up Isaac, and now we have this whole thing. Every time, pisti, 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 by faith, by faith, by faith. And so, what more shall I say? I have not time to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and so forth. They're all living by faith. And so, then women receive back their dead through resurrection. But some were tortured and would not accept deliverance in order to obtain a better resurrection. This is the prophetic vocation very often. Yet in all these, though approved because of their faith, they did not receive what had been promised. God had foreseen something better for us. So without us, they should not be made perfect, which means arrive at the goal. That's the prophets. Jeremiah is the figure of these prophets, you see. I shall appoint you over nations and kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. That's his job. And that's done with the power of the word. Now, we've had people like that in our own generation. Mother Teresa. Most of her prophecy was action, but somebody who knew her well and was there at the time, you know, she was giving a speech somewhere, and she said, "The poor help me out financially because they know what it is to be poor, but the rich don't give a damn." That was Mother Teresa. So you see, that's a kind of a prophetic jab, isn't it? And of course, the famous incident when she dissolved the board of advisors there in New York, because they're all talking about money. And she said, "Well, from now on, this board is dissolved," or whatever she said, and that was, she never came back. And if they didn't give her any more money, I'm sure some did anyway. Okay. And so, see, that's prophetic. The truth is more important than anything else. The great occupational hazard of preachers is to water down the truth so that people like me. Everybody likes me but God. That's not a good situation. And so, that's the prophetic vocation that this text is talking about now, you see. It's this prophetic call, and that's the prophecy. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes to look at the psalm that goes with it, because it's the psalm. It's a prophet psalm, as it were. In you, Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame, or I will not be put to shame. In your justice. Now, if you're alert, how many times, see, the word is tzidkatika, from tzedek. Tzedek is justice, which means what? Honoring the truth of every relationship. You called me, I'm trying to obey you, so I can rely on you being faithful to the truth of this relationship and helping me. Huh? Listen to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, my stronghold. You give me safety, for you are my rock and fortress. My God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked and from the clutches of the evil and violent. You see? They're using this Psalm 71 as a prayer of a prophet, which it could well be, you see? You are my hope, Lord, my trust, my God from my youth. On you I have depended from birth. From my mother's womb you are my strength, my hope in you never wavers. And then they skip some verses, and then the prophet. My mouth shall proclaim your just deeds. Huh? And that is, verse 15. Pi yisafer tzidkatecha. Your works of tzedek, your works of righteousness, fidelity to the covenant. You see, all day long, day after day, your acts of deliverance, though I cannot number them all. And then there's a line they skip, I don't know why. I will speak of the mighty works of the Lord, O God, I will tell of your singular justice. God, you have taught me from my youth. To this day, I proclaim your wondrous deeds. This psalm, which we're either going to sing or listen to on this feast day, is meant to uncover for us a praise in us where the Holy Spirit prays like this for us and for the church, especially obviously those who are called to preach, but every parent. See, everybody in authority has to proclaim the righteousness of God, which is his fidelity to his promises, and one of his promises is to take care of us from turning from evil. And so, this is a prophet's prayer, and that's why it's put here. All right, we'll move on.